Thank you, Tam.
Very well.
I want to say thank you, Pat, for being on top of this process before meeting today. Tim, for doing the tech, and of course, Dr. Evans for inviting me to come and speak with you today. So typically when I give talks, I'm very fluid in how this process works, and that I tell you from the very beginning that I am very frank, I'm very direct, and I'm very honest. And the reason why I'm that way is because I feel that that gives you the best avenue to be able to understand and empathize from the position in which I'm speaking to you from. I was a cryptologic linguist for the Air Force. My language was Russian. Cryptologic linguist is someone who is very good at learning languages and transcribing if you look at cryptologic, it's like encryption. So decoding languages, because all languages code. And so what we do is initially you have to go, you are immersed in the culture. And the reason why that is done is because we all come from our own purview. We all come from our own, we have our own perception of how things are, how they should be based upon our social norms, our culture, et cetera. And you need to immerse yourself in another culture to be able to understand and empathize that although they may do things differently, it doesn't make it right or wrong. It simply makes it coming from a different perspective. And so for approximately a year and a half to 2 years, you would be immersed in another culture so that those things that are alien to you become the norm. And so initially I'm gonna take you on three different pathways. First, I'm going to give you an experience of what it is to be in my skin. The secondly, I'm gonna give you hopefully some experiences that would allow you to empathize with where I'm coming from. And then third, to talk about the collaboration of how we move beyond where we are currently throughout America. So in this chapter is talking about dueling consciousness. And of course we all know a duel is usually two opposite extremes, right? That are coming almost to war with each other. And so this concept, my adopted mom is white. She's a 67-year-old Jewish white lady, and my adopted dad is a 71-year-old Jewish, you know, white man. And so we had this conversation yesterday. I was running things by them, and it was very funny because they told me they can't understand what it is to be in my shoes, because literally when they go out as themselves. And so what do I mean by that? When I go out, if I go to the grocery store and say the checker is rude, right? Or say I'm aggravated, I'm just having a bad day. I am always cognizant of the fact that if I give any attitude, or if I'm just annoyed, or I just don't feel like smiling, that because of where I am, I'm usually the representative for all Black people. So when I interact with someone, I don't merely get to interact with them as Vashti. I have to interact with them as both Vashti and as a Black American. That is enormous weight to carry. When I went to get my first position out of college, and even though I, you know, Air Force veteran, master's degree, top of my class, my first name is Tamika, my middle name is Vashti. I would have to look at whether or not to use my first name. Because if they see the name Tamika, and this has been proven if you look at studies by UCLA, Harvard, Stanford, if they see an urban name, I have a 50% less chance of moving to the next round. And the reason is that most likely, even though you go through the computer system, there is still a person who has to choose who goes on to the next round. And usually when you get to positions that require a higher level of education or experience, that person is a white person. So what comes into play is implicit bias. They see a name like Tamika, they see a name LaShonda, Jerome, they see a name like Carlos, because often they have not interacted with a person of color on a personal level. What comes into play is what they've learned through social media, watching movies, reading books. And people tend to gravitate toward that which is comfortable for them. So if I have two resumes And one is Tamika. And I don't really know any Black people, not on a personal level. And one is Kim. And I met a lot of Kims, and I grew up with Kims, and I went to college with Kims. And Kim is in my sorority, right? And my child is a Kim. The natural inclination is to gravitate toward that which makes you feel most comfortable. Is that fair? No, but it's a reality. And so when I looked to submitting my resume, I had to take my name Tamika off of it. My LinkedIn page, my bio, I had to remove my name, because to put my name out there was to put myself in a position of which I was less likely to move on to the next level. That made me feel like a little part of me had died, because I was always pushed. My mother is 20 years a special ed teacher, all of them higher education. The education was the way to reach the next level. And what I saw when I finally got out there, many other people like me, is that that wasn't true. Because unfortunately, we then came up against implicit bias and other things that were in action. And so it didn't matter how much we had worked toward when those things were in effect. And I know in the book, he talks about education and how that was thought to be the next step. That was thought to be the way that we could climb out of the position that we were in, but it wasn't true. And even if we were able to do that, you look at culture fit, that ubiquitous word, culture fit. What does that mean? My background is in business, is in tech, science. Most likely I go into rooms in which it's predominantly white males. I'm not a culture fit right off the bat. It's hard enough walking into those rooms as a woman, but walking into them as a Black woman is a whole nother level. I have to prove myself, and I have to substantiate, and I have to convince them that I belong in the room. That day in and day out of having to convince someone that you are worthy of being at the station in which you're at is an impossible weight to carry on a daily basis. The truth of the matter is, many people find me to be confident. They, you know, I try to be positive, but what most don't know is I see a therapist on a weekly basis. I have to have antidepressants. Sometimes it is almost impossible to climb out of the bed because I don't feel like interacting and having to prove myself once again. I went to the chocolatier here, and usually I go there to get gifts. And this was in the midst of all the, you know, political kind of stuff. And I go there about twice a week to get gifts for different clients. And I'm standing in line, and I have three people that walk in front of me, and they all had Trump hats on, and they look at me and walk in front of me. So I'm like, okay. I know the person working there had seen me standing in line. And so I figured that they would take care of it. They knew I was next. Well, the girl comes back over there and she starts to help them. And I say, excuse me. I said, I've been standing here. And she said, you can stand there and wait your turn until after I help them. And the people in the hat snickered at me and they looked at each other. And I felt about this small. And so I simply put the items down on the counter and I walked out. And this is not an experience that's unique or novel. Often I'll be in Ace Hardware dressed as I am. I'll be in other stores and I will have people walk up to me to ask me where a product is. I was in Ace Hardware about 3 months ago and a lady walked in and I'm standing in line and I have heels on and I'm dressed like I normally am. And she automatically went to me to ask me where a product was. And the lady behind the counter said, why would you even ask her that? What makes you think she works here? And the lady looked at me startled because she hadn't seen me as a person. She merely saw me as a Black figure. And the way that she rationalized my existence to be in that place was that if I was there because I was there to work. I often, when I explain being a cryptologic linguist, I say, if you never tasted a strawberry, right? I can tell you what a strawberry is like. I can tell you what the texture is akin to, but until you taste that strawberry for yourself, you don't know what the experience is. You can merely guess. I'm gonna play this video for you and I just want you to watch. Tim, will you play the commercial for me, please? The stare.